Most people find the forest frightening, believing the old tales of fairies who will freeze the time in your blood, or witches who can spill your years out over the snow with only a whisper. Even the spirit of the alchemist himself is said to wander these woods, trapping whole eternities in a breath. I know better than to be afraid of stories. The forest holds real danger. Thieves who lie in wait, crude knives and alchemic powder on their belts to steal time from anyone venturing outside the safety of the village. We call them bleeders. They're why Papa doesn't like me hunting, but we have no choice. Luckily, in the winter, there's no undergrowth to hide the thieves from sight, no birdsong to muffle their footsteps. Besides, I know these woods better than anyone else. I've always loved it here. The way the tangled branches overhead shutter out the sun and block the bitter wind. I could stay out here all day, or just keep walking through trees glittering with webs of fine ice, through the sunlight sifted into daggers. Goodbye. Fantasy. I would never leave my father alone, especially not if he's not, I tell myself. The lie freezes in the winter air, falls to the ground like snow. I kick at it with the toe of my boot. Papa says some of the trees in the forest are 1,000 years old. They were here before anyone alive now was born, even the queen, even before the alchemist and the sorceress bound time to blood and metal, if there ever was such a time. These trees will be standing tall long after we're gone. Yet they aren't predators like wolves or people. The roots beneath my feet don't live for centuries by causing other plants to shrivel and turn gray, and their time cannot be bled from them. If only we were more like trees. Papa's old musket weighs heavy on my back, useless. There's been no game for miles. And in just a few hours, it will be dark, and the market stalls will draw their shades one by one. Soon, I'll have to go into town and face the Timelender. I'd hoped hunting would calm my nerves, prepare me for what I must do. But now, I only feel more afraid. Rent is due tomorrow for Crofton. Like every month, the Girling family will replenish its coffers with our blood iron, claiming we owe them for their protection, their land. Last month, when we couldn't pay, the collector let us off with a warning. Papa looks so sickly, and I so young. But it was not a kindness. This month, he'll ask for double, maybe more. Now that I'm 17, legally allowed to bleed my ears, I know what I have to do. Papa will be furious if he has his wits. Just one more try, I tell myself as I come across a small creek running through the trees. Its trickle has gone silent, frozen over. But underneath, there's a quick flicker of green and brown and gold. A trout, wriggling alone, along some invisible current, alive under all that ice. I kneel quickly and smash the skein of ice with the butt of the gun. I wait for the water to settle, for the flash of scales, sending up a silent plea to the sorceress out of desperation. The blood iron this trout would fetch wouldn't make a dent in the rent Papa owes, but I don't want to enter the market empty-handed. I won't. I focus, willing my racing heart to calm. And then, as sometimes happens, the world seems to slow. No, not seems. The branches really do stop whispering in the wind. Even the almost inaudible crackle of the snow melting on the ground stops, like the world is holding its breath. I look down at a pale glimmer in the muddy water. It too is caught in the breath of time. Before the moment can lapse, I strike, plunging my bare hand into the creek. The shock of the cold travels at my wrist, dulling sensation in my fingers. The fish remains still, stunned, as I reach toward it, as though it wants to be caught.